Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Maz.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You know, at the start of free agency, I made a statement about Tom. It would be, of course, impossible to sum up everything Tom did in 20 years into a comment then or now. I meant everything I said about him, and I'm sure we'll be talking about him for years and decades to come. Right now, we're moving forward. Focus on the draft here for this call. That's really where our attention's been and will continue to be, is to put the best team in 2020, do all we can between now and the start of the season. Our preparations to have our team in best position to compete in 2020.
So that wasn't enough for you, Murray? That was part of his opening statement. Impossible to sum up what Tom has meant to us in a comment or a call. We're talking about him for years to come. Now that doesn't do it for you?
No, and not when. And this we did mention yesterday and talked about earlier today, too. I think it's fair to juxtapose that. Those few words, and I already put out a statement about Brady. I basically said why they had to say I'm ready to move on. Juxtapose that with the gushing, the near 4 minutes of gushing, where he takes the microphone out of Stacey James' hands and he can't get words out of his mouth fast enough about Jimmy Garoppolo when he had to trade him few years ago.
You want to hear it again? Here, first, Stu, just to set it up, give me the exchange with Giardi again. And just, this is Bill in his first conference call since the loss of Tom Brady yesterday.
This being our first time talking to you since the end of the season, and in particular since Tom left, I know you wanted to leave it at the statement, but I'm just curious if you guys had a desire to bring Tom back the coming season.
Yeah, I think that's, a lot of water under the bridge, Mike. And like I said, we're really focused on this season and trying to look at our opportunities and make decisions and plan and prepare to be as competitive as we can be this year. So that's really what our focus is on.
It didn't surprise you at all, him leaving?
Again, I think we've covered all that.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Water under the bridge, basically on to Cincinnati. Follow-up question, I've already addressed that. That's how he addressed the greatest football player to ever put on pads in the history of the National Football League. When he traded Jimmy Garoppolo, or was forced to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, 2-3 years ago, this was his first conference call after that trade, talking about someone who played a grand total of 6 quarters for him. Go ahead.
We'll open it up with, we'll start with Mike Reese.
Let me start first here.
Okay.
Thanks.
We completed the trade papers with San Francisco. And so I'll make a couple comments on this situation. First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Jimmy. I couldn't ask for him to give us any more than he's given us. And the 49ers are getting a good player, and they're getting a good person, and they're getting a great teammate, and they're getting a good quarterback. And Jimmy's getting a good coach. His career is moving forward. He's a talented individual and was a great person to coach. I met with him weekly and, again, have a tremendous amount of respect for him.
So I mean, this goes on for 3.5. I feel like Bill's about to cry there, don't you?
Right. It's like, yes, a eulogy.
Seriously. He's emotionally broken after Garoppolo leaves after 2 freaking games. Meanwhile, Tom Brady, 20 years, and it's water under the bridge. Which, so, I mean, like, I understand what you're driving at, but that's, you know, that's how he feels, right? He really liked Jimmy, and here at the end, he wasn't that big of a fan of Tom. And so it reflects in the commentary.
But it's a results-oriented business. The results are what matter. You got the best results ever with the guy who just left, and you're mad because he left. So that's what it is. So that's why I feel like it's disingenuous. You're mad because he didn't capitulate and take your crap offer for the third straight time.
Oh, it's just so petty. That's the part. It is so, so petty to sit there again. Jimmy Garoppolo started two games for the Patriots. Two. That statement that we just played, again, Bill speaking, not writing, okay, or someone writing for him. Not a written statement, Bill speaking about Garoppolo. 449 words of him gushing about Jimmy and how we met with Jimmy, and Jimmy's a good player, and Jimmy's got a good coach, and I'm worried about Jimmy's future, and I'm paraphrasing because, again, he wouldn't bring up the coach if he wasn't worried about Jimmy's future. Tom Brady, who won 6 Super Bowls and went to 9. Again, Brady won 6 Super Bowls. Garoppolo started 2 games. Brady's comment to Giardi, the spoken comment, 57 words. Garoppolo, 449. Okay? So I ran the word count on it because I wanted to know. I took the transcripts, and I wanted to know. I just think it is so laughable that he would have one response to a guy that played 2 games for him because it was his guy that he ordained and he picked in the second round, as opposed to the other guy that he lucked into a little bit and then admittedly developed. He deserves a lot of credit for Brady. I'm not saying that, because he certainly developed Tom Brady and helped turn Brady into what he is. But now that Brady's out the door, oh, gosh, he won't say – he can't bring himself to at least say it.
But
and
you think that he's bitter over the fact that Brady told him to go screw at the end. And that's what it was, that the Pats actually wanted him back. They thought he'd come back on their crappy 1-year offer again. He said, nope, I'm out the door. And he stood Bill up, and that's why Bill's being petty about it.
I mean, otherwise, what's he upset about, Mike?
The whole Brady Belichick thing, the whole deeper roots of it, which is I'm not going to sit here and pump this guy's tires when I'm every bit as responsible as he is. And this ain't about Tom. It's about us and the team and about me. And, you know, like the bigger picture things, Matt, that have been underlying the thing for years and years and years, not necessarily being left at the altar. But I'm not I'm not disputing that, because I do believe.
Sure.
The Pats' plan A was for Brady to come crawling back and cave on a crappy 1-year offer. Like they thought he was going to turn down Tampa and come back on a crappy 1-year offer. And when he told them to go screw, you know, I bet that did get Bill's back up.
But, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter whether it was about the fact that Brady left or about the 20-year thing. Either way, there was an opportunity for him there to be bigger than that. He could have just stood there and said, hey, look, I think it bears repeating. Let me repeat this. Also, as we were saying it, you know, the part that we played in the press conference with Giardi yesterday, where he said, I made a statement about Tom, back at the start of free agency. No, you didn't. You issued a statement. Someone sent out a written press release, rather, for you. That was a statement. You never said anything. You made no statements whatsoever. This is the first time you're speaking about it.
Right. One of his assistants or Burge or someone wrote that thing, and he looked at it, glanced at it, half glanced at it on his phone.
No, because he actually took a little shot at Bill, and he took a shot at Brady, excuse me, in that statement where, again, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have it in front of me, but there was a line in there where he says, despite how it ended, will take away. So I still think
He told one of those underlings, put a shot in there. You know which one.
Bill Bears, whatever. they made sure to point out, to let us, to remind us that it didn't end well here with Brady. So whether they're referring to Brady sort of disengaging from the team or just playing poorly or whatever. I don't know what exactly it was alluding to, probably all of the above.
The exact line was, nothing about the end of Tom's Patriots career changes how unfathomably spectacular it was.
So, I mean, that's such a shot in a team statement. So I think Bill had a hand in that. But Bill's not a huge fan of Tom Brady right now. And I know that because he was being petty on the conference call, and he had a little pettiness in the statement. And so it's a straight shot. I can wrap my head around that better than Brady, who I know is not a fan of Bill right now and is resentful of the way things went down with Bill and is resentful of a lot of things, going on Howard Stern and saying, no, it was great. It was just time. He was happy with it. I was happy with it. I have a bigger problem with that than Bill farting into the phone yesterday, because that's how Bill really feels. It would be hypocritical of me to rag on Brady for being disingenuous last week, which he was, and being phony last week, and then get on Bill for being real yesterday. No, as petty as it was, I'll take the realism versus the phoniness the week before.
Yeah, I'm not getting on a Bill for not being real. I'm getting on him for something else. And did he like Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, or was that a decision based on what he liked and didn't like?
No, he made it personal.
Well, so, but this is sort of, then this thing with Brady, I think, is personal. He's not feeling, you know, he doesn't like Brady at the moment, just like he didn't like Butler in the Super Bowl.
No, it's definitely personal. And no doubt about it, it's personal for Brady, too. At least Bill, in his own sort of passive-aggressive way, admits it. So your thoughts, again, I promise, that question, did Bill disrespect him yesterday, does that upset you? Your calls right after this.
Felger and Maz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help Line ma.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm curious, you mentioned, you know, it's a pretty interesting quarterback class. And obviously, there's only one Brady. But I'm curious, how willing do you feel like you and your staff will need to be moving forward when it comes to that position and maybe altering your offense a little bit? It does feel like there are more athletes sort of coming into the league year after year, different styles of quarterbacks. And I'm just curious how important you think that is to be open to changing this thing that you've built for two decades with, you know, one guy primarily playing the majority of the snaps there.
Right. Yeah. Well, as you exactly, Phil, just I couldn't agree with you more in terms of over the last two decades, everything we did, every single decision we made in terms of major planning was, you know, made with the idea of how to make things best for Tom Brady.
So that's the shot that I kind of liked. That was the shot that I thought, I don't know, that I felt more with Bill. And the question's ostensibly about Phil Perry asking him, if you get a running quarterback, are you going to tailor your offense to a guy who can move a little bit more? I mean, that's basically the question. And Bill says, oh, no, you're absolutely right. Everything we did for the last 20 years was to help Tom Brady. And that's just like, that's a response from, you know, it's a response to Brady's camp, which has been complaining for years about the lack of weapons around Brady and the crappy receivers that Brady's been handed. It's Bill's way of answering. For 20 years, we did everything to try and help you out. In fact, in the last year, I drafted a guy in the first round. I brought in the biggest a-hole in pro sports for you, Antonio Brown. When that failed, I traded a second-round pick for you to bring in another guy. Never mind, I had to wait around for your a-hole tight end friend who stiffed us at the altar in free agency. So, yeah, you know, yeah, Phil, you're absolutely right. For 20 years, we've done everything we could for that guy. Everything. Everything.
Oh, this was totally another shot. And maybe you could also, I even kind of look at it, hearing that now this third time, that it's, well, maybe I wanted to do more, but now they have a new guy that's more willing to do different things. I'm surprised he didn't say something like, I'm willing to be pliable, you know, throwing in another shot.
So I think that comment was a little loaded there, Maz.
Well, look, I think on some level, you know, Bill's right to bitch about this. Like, in some ways, he undoubtedly feels about Brady like Brady feels about him. Like, Tom's out the door now, and Bill is looking at it going, you got to be kidding me. With all that we've done, we took you as a sixth-round pick. We turned you into the greatest player of all time, at least in part. We had a hand in that. And now this is going to be, you know, you versus me and that sort of thing. So I can understand why Bill would get his back up about that. He has a right to defend his position on it, no question.
Okay. As promised, your calls on everything. And go back to the return of sports as well. The return of sports, I should say, as we hit on in the 4 o'clock hour. Steve in Boston wants to defend Belichick. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, guys, I just Tony actually kind of sort of made the point there, and I just want to make this point. But with all the peripherals going around, with Kraft going back to Brady, and or Brady going to Kraft and crying about that, and then you know that whole dynamic. But here's the deal, and let me just finish this, and I'll ask you a yes or no question, or you can answer it however you want. He was brutal in his showing in the combine. He was drafted 199th, which means he would never got drafted at all.
Hey, Steve, I love you, man. I mean it. But I am curious why that guy keeps calling, because the call never works. He understands his calls. I'm going to ask you a yes or no question. He was drafted 199 in 2000. Do you have any idea what he was driving at?
Nope.
Not a one.
I mean, I think my guess is that he was going to end up saying that Belichick made Brady or helped make Brady. I mean, that whenever I hear the 199, what else are you supposed to think?
So, but I don't know what the point is. I don't know what.
He never lands the plane.
Yep. Alan Everett.
He just circles the airport.
Always lands a plane. Alan Everett. Go ahead, Al.
Kudos to Mr. Murray. Mr. Murray, you're right on target, buddy. Listen, I got to give you credit, buddy, having the guts to tell it like it is about this guy. I've only been telling you guys this for 20 years. And Michael, a few minutes ago you said he's not a fan now. Bill Belichick is not a fan now of Tom Brady. What about 4 years ago when he tried to trade him to San Fran? Two Super Bowls later, where he won one and lost one. Should have won the other one if it wasn't for his moron coach sitting Malcolm Butler. I could go on and on. What do you want to know?
Okay, so that's pretty much it. God, your phone blows too, Al. Always has. 20 years of sucky phone. 20 years.
I think it's actually gotten worse.
And you haven't gotten any better on the phone. 20 freaking years, Al. Hold it like a pizza once. Just once for me. Calls from a landline, a payphone, something. The thing about Bill's felt for a long time he could win without Brady. True. So that may make him an a-hole. And we will find out, won't we? He may be a giant a-hole on this, but what if he's right? What if he wins with the next guy? Then was he right? I mean, certainly he proved he could win with Brady. I mean, that's for sure. But, you know, what if he was onto something and not that he could have done any better than Brady? I'm not trying to rewrite that history. I'm just saying, has he been justified in this feeling now for years that he could have won with another quarterback if he wins with the next guy? The answer is going to be yes. This is the beautiful part of it, Al and everybody else. We get to find out now, Murray.
Yeah, and this is why I think this is why I was rooting for, because I am interested to see how this plays out on both sides, and I think that there's more at stake legacy wise on for Bill Belichick, and I think that he wants to also prove this now, given his history prior here and getting Brady wasn't so good, so that's why I'm kind of licking my chops, and I'm with others that feel like he's probably going to fall on his face.
We got Mike in Florida on the return of sports to his home state. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, man, I was actually calling earlier about the sports in Florida deal.
Yep, go ahead.
And with the whole WWE being an essential business, and just basically as a former independent wrestler myself, like these people, they're with the schedule that they have on a Monday night and a Tuesday night and a Wednesday night, and then, of course, the Friday, obviously. But these people, I don't think they're going home. They're going to their hotels. They stay away from their house for at least a long majority of months of time.
So you're saying the wrestlers keep it clean, Mike?
It would be stupid if they didn't. Vince McMahon has too much to lose to not do the things right. And, I mean, as independents, we do it. But now with a professional, I mean, I think this community and this whole nation right now needs is some sports.
Yeah, I just don't put wrestling on the list. So I just, but
I do. I need content for my podcast.
Okay, either way, but I'm for them pushing these sports back if it's safe to do. And if it's safe to do, go ahead and do it. So if what, you know, wrestling's been screwing around with is safe, I'm all for it. And again, the independent wrestler, you got independent wrestlers calling us too?
Well, you know.
Steve in Yarmouth. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Maz, I just want to know, in a vacuum, who would you rather have? And who do you think has the higher ceiling as a quarterback in the NFL, Jimmy Garoppolo or Tua?
Ooh, well, ceiling, probably Tua's a better athlete, I think, but, Tua scares the crap out of me.
I mean, he scares the crap out of me, too, with his injuries, but your boy Jimmy Garoppolo is one stupid scramble away from being in a body cast for the rest of his life, that being Nick Mullins' team. So, well, but, I don't know, I mean, I just respect.
I mean, if you're a Tua guy, Steve, I wouldn't bring up the injury stuff.
Well, so I think his point is that Jimmy's had his share of injury issues, too. I would tell you that Jimmy Garoppolo's injuries, though, to me, are sort of the result of bad decision-making in-game. Tua fractured a hip. Like, that's a scary thing. You know, knees, shoulders, those are sort of customary injuries for a quarterback or any player for that matter. Once you get to hips, forget it.
Who'd you rather, have, Tua or Jimmy Garoppolo?
Oh, Tua, because at least Tua has a heart.
Who would you rather have?
I'd take Garoppolo.
Yeah, me too. Me too. We continue with your thoughts. And one more example of Bill being petty and defensive yesterday on this call. We'll do it right after Big Jim Murray's update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
All right, we'll get back to your phones here in 1 second. We just have a development on a conversation we were having earlier about the return of sports and getting tests to the leagues and the players so they can start up again, even if it's in empty buildings, and testing being the key, and they know it. And is there some sort of deal there with the federal government to help the leagues get these tests so they can get back in these buildings, et cetera, et cetera? Maz has a development on this. What do you got, Maz?
Okay, my understanding, and again, Jeff Passan now of ESPN has tweeted something to the same effect. So MLB is working with Stanford, Mike, to conduct broad antibody testing of most or many of its employees. About 10,000 people in total will be tested, including at least some players. And the idea, at a minimum, obviously, is to get some better understanding of COVID-19. And I think that this all relates to the teams eyeing and the leagues eyeing a way to get back on the field and play games here without fans in all probability this spring and summer.
You say some players. How many players are in the union?
Well, so that's a good question. I mean, look, if you go, 30 times 25 is, I don't know, what's that, 1,500 players in Major League Baseball? So this sample size is about 10,000.
Right.
So this is way beyond players.
So, but, I mean, to me, this would have to include every player. I would hope it would include every player.
Well, not necessarily. So I don't know whether the idea is to test the players or to get a better cross sample of people in the general workforce, right? And I think part of the reason this is appealing to MLB is that they have employees all over the country. And so, you know, you don't just necessarily do antibody testing on some small pocket or area that might be a little more isolated from the spread or the virus. You know, again, my info on this is pretty general and pretty vague.
Okay, so
Passan at ESPN has some more details on it, but the sample size is going to be about 10,000.
So that's a huge number of tests.
It is.
So Passan did just file a story. You and he found it out at roughly the same time, I guess, because you had this earlier this hour about this study with Stanford, and it's a study, right? So it's not a approved, you know, final product test. It's a sample test, and it's a study to see if this antibody testing is legit and effective and usable. And Major League Baseball signed up for it. Okay, so they're gonna have 10,000 people in the Major League Baseball world tested for the coronavirus and one of these blood antibody tests, the pinprick test that tests your antibodies to see if you've had it or have developed immunities to it, etc. It's a very valuable test, providing they're accurate. And I think they already know, Maz, that people are going to look at him cross-eyed. Like, how'd you get these tests first?
No question.
And why aren't these tests being used for frontline personnel and people who need them and all of this? They're getting the finger wagging. They're trying to get out ahead of the finger wagging because they're already trying to explain away why they have access to the tests. And it's the first thing that you said. Passon writes, the goal of the study is to get a better sense of the virus's true infection rate by utilizing a nationwide sample.
Right.
The speed with which MLB coordinated logistics and ensured participation from a wide range of people, including players, front office staff, concession workers, and others. And we understand production people, media people who produce games for the teams. The way MLB was able to coordinate that made it the right choice for the study, according to doctors running it. Said Dr. Daniel Eichner, who is the president of Smartle. I don't even know what that is because I missed it, but whatever, the testing body, I think. He said, quote, these tests are absolutely not getting redirected from any kind of frontline testing programs, he said. So they're trying to get out ahead of this. It's like, how'd Major League Baseball get these tests? And Major League Baseball's going to say, well, we're a nationwide company that was able to organize people from different cities in different vocations, coming from different strata of society. We were able to organize it quickly so we can test not just the players, but their executives, people who live in suburbs and cities. We're going to test concession workers. We're going to test media members. We're going to test cameramen. They come from all over. They transcend every ethnic group, every socioeconomic group, every part of the country. And so this is why we deserve the test, because we can give you the most organized, clean, big sample that you need. Huh. Like, they're the only nationwide company that could do that. So, I mean, I have no problem with them doing it because I'm firmly on record as this, but you can already tell they're waging the PR campaign, the fact that they got their hands on this test or this study before anyone else.
Oh, there's no question. I think they're sensitive to that for obvious reasons. And further in the Passon story, there's this paragraph. The league leapt at the opportunity to participate in the study when approached by Eichner, who you mentioned, in hopes that the data can help give politicians a clearer sense on when it might be safe to reopen the country. Because the data in the MLB study will be de-identified and not all players are expected to participate. So again, not all players expected to participate. It would not serve as a proxy for baseball's ability to return to play.
Yeah.
Now, that's what it says in the story.
Hold on. And then Eichner has a quote. MLB did not partner with us for any selfish reasons to get their sport back sooner. They jumped in it for public health policy. That was their intention and their only intention. To which, right, I say, what? Why do you do that? Why do you have to throw the bull crap on me? It's okay that you want to get your business up and running. And it's okay if something benefits both the business and the public health. Like, that's okay. It's okay if you're doing the right thing and it benefits you financially. Why can't you just say it? Like, that frustrates me. There's nothing wrong with doing something that benefits you and the country at large. But it's okay to acknowledge that it benefits you. But it wasn't, you know, no selfish reasons whatsoever. It had nothing to do with wanting to get their sport back sooner. I don't believe that. So don't feed me the bull crap. Just tell it to me like it is.
Oh, no. There definitely had to be a vested interest in it for MLB. And my guess is that, look, Passon was farther along on this thing than I was. My guess is that Passon went to MLB with it, and then they made Eichner, and again, he is one of the people overseeing the study or leading it, they made him available so that they could spread that message that they didn't want this to come off as baseball backdooring it and stealing tests away from some other part of society that needed it more readily. Just as a point of note, we touched on this quickly last week, that there was a similar type of experiment that was supposed to take place in Telluride.
Right.
I think that we talked about this on the air.
And sure
I think
did.
This got delayed because apparently the lab in New York that was overseeing this just got hit massively by the virus, and its ability to produce the antibody tests as a result was affected, and they couldn't get the tests out to the people in Telluride in time. It sounds like this study out at Stanford obviously has not had that same type of difficulty. So MLB is participating in this thing, and it'll be interesting to see what the results are.
Okay, and I think it's all part of a broader piece that the leagues knew in some way, shape, or form, or had it indicated to them in some way, shape, or form that testing would be there for them. The country would be in a certain place in a couple of months. And to go ahead and do your planning, do everything you can to get on the field, even if it's empty stadiums, come up with your planning, do your due diligence, and we'll do what we can to make sure that the science catches up and you have the tests and all that. And here you go. Major League Baseball is going to be party to a 10,000 sample test of, well, antibody coronavirus testing. And so there you go. Are you outraged? You can weigh in if you want. Meanwhile, back to your phones, Brady Belichick thing. I know people are outraged, including Big Jim Murray. Tom and Quincy, are you outraged by Bill Belichick yesterday?
Honestly, I'm not, guys. But, you know, as a non-independent wrestler, I don't know what kind of comments I can really say. But, no, Mike, you know what's funny is I'm not usually any kind of fence-sitter. I kind of have some sort of opinion one or the other, one way, one side. But I don't think anyone's ever – I mean, I was praying to God that this wasn't going to turn into a pissing contest between the two. The only thing that I'll say is the fact that any other one that he's ever praised is guys that he's traded. It's not people that didn't resign here and this and that.
That's right.
But the one thing, though, is has anyone talked about if neither of these guys succeed without the other? Because I'm curious to see if that actually happens now.
Oh, it's possible. It's possible.
That would suck.
It would suck. It would suck. If both are great, it's good. If both are great, it's great, yeah. I think.
If both suck, it's a tie.
Oh, horrible.
See? They need each other. Please.
Totally. That would be insufferable. No, it'd be insufferable if they both suck. If they're both good, that's great. It's a building narrative, and you know, ultimately you'll have a crescendo. If one's good and one sucks, that's still worthwhile because we'll have an answer and there's, you know, going to be good blowing going on back and forth. If they both suck, dang it. Both just sitting here with our Schmenzer in our hands.
I hadn't even thought about that. Oh, that would be so boring.
John in Rockland. Go ahead, John.
I think the reason why Belichick's a little pissy is because Brady went behind. I don't know if you guys said this yet, but because Brady went behind his back to Kraft to get rid of Garoppolo. That's why I think he's being pissy and the way he's like, we're moving on. Water under the bridge, folks. That's why I feel like he said,
yeah, I mean,
the water under the bridge.
Sure, it's part of it. It's part of it. I think Bill had gotten sick of Brady for a multitude of reasons. That was one of them. Just like Brady had gotten sick of them for a multitude of reasons. And Garoppolo was one of them. They were both. Everyone was pissed about Garoppolo and how it was handled, I think. Everyone. Murray's now rooting for 5-11. From how did you put it? It was just working so well. That fake wannabe Navy admiral and his my way or the highway ass, he hopes it gets exposed to go 5-11 every season that he's got left in the NFL. If he goes 5-11, I mean, I don't know if he's going to have 3 years left in the NFL. He goes 5-11 in each of those. Rocco in Somerville, East Somerville, you want Bill Belichick to fail now?
Yo, Mikey, it's me, your favorite uncle, Rocco.
How you doing, man?
Guys, listen, I agree with my buddy Murray, all right? All right, first thing, stay safe, guys, but I do agree with my buddy Murray. I think Belichick is an overrated coach. Listen, we all agree that, you know, Belichick put ego before, you know, team against the Philadelphia Super Bowl because he didn't put Butler in. But you remember against the Rams Super Bowl a couple of years ago? What did Belichick wanted to do? He wanted to go for the field goal. And what did Brady have to do? Thank God for Tom Brady. He yelled in his face. Belichick, go for the field goal because Belichick wanted to go for it. Excuse me.
Okay, but right? That wasn't ego. That was Bill being scared crapless of his field goal kicker, which, Maz, you actually endorse.
Yeah, look, again, I told you I trust no kicker at any time, pretty much, except maybe Adam Vinatieri with the game on the line. Other than that, I have no problem with the coach who looks at his kicker and says, I'm not putting the game in your feet. No way.
No, that wasn't ego. That was just Bill didn't love Gostkowski there. And, he, you know, Brady turned out to be right. No, so that I actually thought that was an ego-less moment from Belichick because he let Brady talk him into it, right? It wasn't my way or the highway. It wasn't like he shut his player out. He actually listened to his player.
No, that's right. That's exactly what that is when someone can sway you because you acknowledge that you might not be seeing it right.
Brian and Quincy. Hi, Brian.
Hey guys, but I wanted to comment on the Aaron Garuzian. Rest in peace. Bye.
Wow, Brian, you have to call us back on that phone. It's not. Tyron in Tennessee. Final word, Tyron.
Yeah, I tell you, I think the reason why Bill's so pissy, because I think he knows he has an uphill battle. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, if you told him a few years ago this was a secession plan behind Brady, I'm not sure on just seeing he maybe not, may have to go back into the draft, may have to bring Hoy in to push him. This wasn't Bill what had in mind. Bill had his secession plan years ago. He got pooped on, and now Tom's going into a great situation where, and Boston, brace yourself, he's going to win a seventh Lombardi, whether it's this year, whether it's year two. He will horse the seventh Lombardi, and Bill's never winning again, and I think Bill knows it. He has uphill battle.
Okay, but Ty, I'm going to stop you. You're half right. I think Bill felt Brady would cave at the last and come back. But I don't agree with you that Bill knows he's done. I think Bill thinks he can win with someone else. And once again, Murray, we're about to find out. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I think it'd be hard for you to be doing the post-game shows rooting against a team like that.
Well, maybe the reason I was so hot about it this morning is because I still feel like probably not going to get football. So I was like, "Yeah, I'll take a few."
That's a different story. Would you please? We got Stanford University on the case with those tests. Coming up next is the final word.
Dugger Fans Sports, Austin's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Helplinema.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire for the guaranteed lowest prices on tires. Go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So on the Felger and Mass big board today, it was outside linebackers, and the attributes on one said outside linebacker that Mass hit, kind of ridiculous. Hit it, Jimmy.
And here it comes, outside linebackers. We're going to do it from Mass's home studio. Mass was a little off with the darts.
Okay, here's who we got. We got, in your magazine, the ninth player listed, who is Akeem Davis Gaither.
6'1", 219. 6'1", 219. Which is a little fella for an outside linebacker. Do I have this right?
That sounds like a fullback.
6'1", 219. Strengths. Moves like a... He moves like a stray cat fighting animal control.
Quick.
Now, you know what? I want this guy. He moves like a stray cat fighting animal control, Maz. That's awesome. Moves like a stray cat fighting animal control. He's twitched up, agile, a blunt force tackler who launches himself around the field with reckless abandon. This is like a crazed, wild cat.
He's that rabid. Sounds like a penalty flag waiting to happen.
Moves like a stray cat fighting animal control, twitched up, agile athlete. But if he's a wild cat twitched up, launching himself, you know, at animal control. Good God. Anyway.
I know exactly where he plays on the Patriots. Special teams.
Yeah. Just imagine the guy. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. It's great.
Twitched up. And what was the other thing? He sounds like it's like a criminal report.
Is twitched up like a euphemism for roided up?
Hopefully.
I shouldn't say that. I take that back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.